us this morning. Some are off, so we're glad to have her with us for our final class this morning. Let's see, let me see if somebody came in the back. We have workers here this morning, and I thought I heard the door. Okay. This morning we're finishing up, and so what I wanted to do was just to do a brief review of what we've done and the markings that we saw. The first marking we did, which was week two, we saw that all three persons of the Godhead were involved and talked about in Ephesians. And so we can see that there's, to me, this would be a good place to go if someone's trying to talk to you, that there's only one person in the Godhead, because we can see all throughout the book of this one short book of Ephesians with six chapters, we see each one of them talked about and in different areas. And also we saw that I counted that Christ was mentioned either by name or by pronoun at least 146 times. So that shows his great importance in our salvation. In six short chapters, for that to be used 146 times shows us that there's something important here, and that's something we should be aware of. The next marking we had was that all of our spiritual blessings are in Christ, and we counted at least 23 individual blessings that we have that are in connection with Christ, and so we can. It shows us the importance of being in Christ and knowing what that is and what that entails, because we want the blessings. The next marking we had in week four, we saw the attitude of God that brought about these blessings. We saw His grace, His mercy, and love. And we also saw the great abundance of His blessings. And we saw that we should give Him glory and praise for all of these blessings, that we need to be active in doing that and being thankful for these blessings. In week five, we saw a distinction made between the us and you. There were two distinct groups. Who were they that were in this marking that we saw? Jews and Gentiles. And Paul talks about the mystery and what this mystery was. And this mystery that was finally revealed is that the Gentiles have salvation, and that we have the same blessings that the Jews don't have any more blessings at this point in time than we do. We can have everything that they have. It's the because of Christ, but we have to be in connection with Christ to obtain these blessings. Then we saw that there was a pointed contrast in their lives. They had a past life and a present life, and it was this difference came about because they had the gospel in their lives now. Then in week six, we began the mark of walk. We saw a definite division in the book. The first three chapters talked about the spiritual blessings and how they're all in connection with Christ and our attitude toward that and what caused us to have those. And then we began in chapter four with, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." So we have a walk, and we learned how we can have, if we're all going to have the same walk, we have to have unity. And we saw in verses 4 through 6 the foundation of this unity, what we have to have. We have to have, there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. So this is what our unity is built on. This is what our walk is built on. For us all to walk the same way, this we have to know these things and have these things in our life. We saw the change of life that had to be made in order to have unity. Some things had to be put off, others had to be put on, we saw in this marking. And so that's what we need to learn, that there, when we're Christians, there's some things we cannot have and some things we have to have in our life. Week seven was walk in love, the first from chapter 4, verse 31 through 5:2. And then we looked at walk in morality, shown by the contrast of light and darkness, if you walk in the light or if you walk in the darkness. And this was in connection with morality in chapter 5. And then week 8, we looked at the walk that we are, a worthy walk in our daily lives, how husbands and wives are to treat each other, how parents and children are to interact and treat each other, and how slaves and masters were to interact and treat each other. And then in our last marking, we looked at put on the whole armor of God and what that was. We want to remember, we want to determine what it is and then what we're to do with those pieces of armor that we have, that God has given us for our protection. And then Paul had some closing remarks, and then we looked at the Old Testament references throughout the book. So that is kind of a 5-minute overview of what we've done. And it's taken us more than 9 weeks, but anyway. And so today, and I want to go ahead and get started on this, because I'm really hoping, I want you to share, I want us to see how each of us wrote some of these. Because what we're doing now, all we have done, or encouraged you to do, is just simply read the book of Ephesians and do some marking, to try to determine what the book of Ephesians is telling us, what we should glean from the book of Ephesians. And so now today we're going to look at an outline and see how we come up with the outline. And hopefully it's brief. If it's not, we still want you to share what you have. But if you can keep it brief, it will help you. Some of these things, not every one of them, but a lot of these things I've written in my margin in my Bible. So when I go back and, you know, I know it's in Ephesians, but it's not right on, maybe on the top of my head exactly what chapter and verse it's in. But if I can go through here and look at the little notes I've made about what's in each section, then it helps me find it a lot faster. I've never been good with numbers. I can't just spit off numbers off the top of my head like a lot of people. I take a lot of notes in my Bible, and if I have my Bible, I can figure out what I want to know. If I have your Bible, it may take me longer. I can probably still figure it out, but it's a lot easier with my Bible because I know where it's at on the page and what book it's in and that sort of thing. Okay. We have two parts and then some subparts under that. Part 1, chapters 1 through 3. How'd you label that?
Blessings in Christ.
Okay, very good. Anybody have anything different? That one was pretty easy, wasn't it? I put all spiritual blessings in Christ. You could label it salvation in Christ, but spiritual blessings in Christ, that's what it, that sums up the whole first three chapters very well. Okay, we have chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. What
introduction.
Introduction. Very good. Anybody have something else? Greeting. I put salutation. So all that says the same thing. Same thing in just a different word. Okay, chapter 1, verse 3 through 14.
Enumerates all the blessings we have.
Okay. Enumerates the blessings we have.
What God has done.
Okay, what God has done. That's a
us
very good way to
put it.
Mm-hmm.
Us saved in Christ.
Us saved in Christ, okay. Anybody else have something they want to share?
The praise and glory given to God. There's attitudes and grace towards us with spiritual blessings, you know, only found in Jesus. This is long.
That's a lot of writing on the margin.
I just couldn't, you know.
I just simply wrote spiritual blessings found in Christ because that's where the main list of them are. However you want to, these are all good. You know, this is nothing that's right or wrong. I just want us to share and see how we can word it different as long as we get the main thrust of what we looked at. But in when we made the list of the 23 blessings, I think most of those were found in the set of verses. I have that somewhere that I, where I made that list. Over half of them, or about half of them, were found in this set of markings right here. But so however you want to label that, that just brings to your mind when you're or when you start reading through here, it if you've marked these, if you do wind up marking some of these things in your Bible, then these things are going to kind of jump out at us. Okay, verse 15 through 23 of chapter 1.
Paul's giving to us?
Mm-hmm.
Paul's giving to us?
Paul's giving to us. Okay. I'll have to think about that one. It's something Paul did.
He prayed and he prayed for the Ephesians, for their faith, and for their hope, not in Christ.
Okay.
I put Paul's prayer for their enlightenment.
Okay. Okay, Sandra, you're sitting back there grinning like the cat that swallowed the canary. Tell us what you wrote.
They might know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Okay. Okay, I simply put Paul's thankfulness for their faith and praise it will continue. So all these things, whatever is going to bring to your mind what this section is about. That's what we want. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. No right or wrong answers here. Don't be afraid.
Made alive in Christ.
Okay, good.
Jesus is loving and reaching for us.
Okay.
Salvation is delicious. Salvation is delicious.
Okay. Anybody else?
We were formerly dead in our sins, but because God loved us, we are now alive with Christ.
Okay. Very good. I just simply wrote dead, but saved by grace through faith. So, any?
What was your first one?
Huh? Dead.
Dead.
But saved by grace through faith. So whatever is going to bring to your mind. That's why I say there's no right or wrong answers here, because when you've read and whatever, and you know what will happen, or at least it happens with me when I do things like this, I may go back 6 or 8 months from now and pick up Ephesians and read it again and study it a little more and change some of these because something, I can either make it more concise or there's something I feel like is more clear or more deals with what's in the passages. So this is just a beginning. So hopefully you'll continue to do this not only with this book, but with other books. And don't be discouraged when you feel like... When I first started doing this, Stephen would say, you can't write a paragraph for, you know, an outline. But I wanted to tell every little thing that was in there. So he's helped me through the years learn to try to make it more concise. And when I asked him to read over my thing, he looked at me and said, it looks good, but I could tell some of them were probably too long as far as for what he would do. But that's okay.
I find in this section here, to me, one of the most important verses, like we were talking about, when you read, you can understand. Mm-hmm. In 2:8, by grace you've been saved through faith, by yourself, and it's a gift of God. I mean, that is the epitome of what he's talking about in those three chapters. You know, mm-hmm. We are saved by grace. If you want to look at a verse, you know, that says what's going on, you know, to me, that one helps.
Mm-hmm. Okay, agree with that. Okay, chapter 2, verse 11 through 22. How did you phrase that?
The volume of us in Christ.
Okay.
Salvation extended to the Gentiles.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? I know y'all got things written down.
I put one separate, now built together.
Very good.
Yeah, I put one with God and together. Because there's two pieces.
I just simply put Jew and Gentile made one in Christ. All these are good. Whatever brings to your mind what's in this section is what you want to... Because what triggers in my mind may not trigger yours. So that's why I want us to share how we've done this so that we can maybe go back later and read and say, yeah, I like that better, or no, I like mine better, or no, I don't like either one. I changed the whole thing. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1 through 13.
Our fellowship in Christ.
Okay. Anybody else?
Paul's grace and ministry, gospel.
Okay. Anybody else's?
I put the revelation and understanding.
Very good. Anybody else? I simply put mystery of God revealed in apostles and prophets. I think mystery is important in this because Paul talks about it. He goes and says in verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. That's what the mystery is. The specifics of the mystery are that the Gentiles have salvation now. And so this mystery of God is something that has been going on for how long? How long has this been a mystery or been hidden? From the time the Jewish nation was set up, because they felt like they were it. They did not understand or appreciate that the promises that were made to Abraham and to David were for the bringing about of the salvation of the Gentiles. They, even today, consider themselves God's privileged nation and that they have privileges that other people do not have because of their special relationship with God.
Even in the garden. Genesis 3 talks about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Satan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have something they want to share? Please don't be shy. There's no right or wrong answers here. Okay, chapter 3, verse 14 through 21.
Our great power can depend on Christ.
Okay. Okay.
Riches of Christ through faith.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have something I'm waiting here, Junior.
Okay. I simply put abundance of God's love and glory understood through faith. That's the way I worded it. What did you put?
Well, mine isn't really like that. I'm not sure what I'm saying.
That doesn't make it wrong.
I put thanksgiving and praise.
Okay.
So I need to look at it again, obviously.
I'll have to go back and read the thing, but anyway, that's at the time I was doing this, that's what came to my mind, the abundance of God's love and glory understood through faith. So maybe I'll read that one again too.
This is where Paul prays for them that they be filled to the fullness of Christ. Is that the section?
Verse 19.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's how the Gentiles understood it. They, abundance of God's love and glory understood through faith.
Okay,
what's
16?
Yes, and talks about maybe filled up to the fullness and be. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within him. So we understand the abundance. Maybe I should have put understanding abundance of God's love and glory. Well, I said understood through faith. But it's through faith in our what we come to know through reading God's word and what has been revealed that we come to understand. And it's through our faith that we accept God's abundance of love and glory. I guess my answer would be is that's what he is praying for them to that they understand through the abundance. that they will.
Obviously, he's praising at the end. I don't know where I got Thanksgiving. I must have blamed or something. But I do think it's important that it's a prayer for them.
Okay.
And it is for so that they will not fall into unbelief, not lose heart in his tribulations on your behalf.
There's more verses.
I know, but it's right above that.
Yeah, but I didn't ask about those. I'm asking about these verses. What these verses?
It just says for this reason. And then he starts his prayer.
Well, that's true. But he is wanting them to... Okay, it's been a while since I've gone back and read this, so as far as studying it. But he does want... It's through their faith that they're going to understand the abundance of God's love and glory. And that's what he's praying for them to do. To have an understanding of that. So that they will give him the glory that they need to give him. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Talks about to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. And that he's able to do abundantly more than you can ask. So he's praying, I guess a better way to put it would, his prayer for their understanding the abundance of God's grace, love, and glory. But it's through faith. If they have no faith, because he says so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, verse 17, and that you may be rooted and grounded in love. So, anybody else? Okay, so that finishes the first half, the all spiritual blessings in Christ or salvation in Christ, the chapters that dealt with that, and so we begin into the next section. And what is the chapters 4 through 6? How did you label that?
The life will be in Christ.
What?
The life will be in Christ.
Okay. There's one word that I would like for you to have included, walk, because that's what's through the whole rest of the chapter. That's what we mark about the rest of the chapter, a walk worthy of being in Christ. That's very good. So what you got the gist of the idea. It's just what I did the marking, what I asked for was walk. So, that's
I just
okay.
I know what it's
called. Tell her, speak out and tell Miss Lauren what you said.
The life worthy of being in Christ.
The life worthy of being in Christ.
We receive
this
and
then
walk.
Okay. Just put how we should walk in Christ.
Okay. How we should walk in Christ. Anybody else? I just simply put walk in a manner worthy of Christ. So I just put walk where you had life. Justin. That was just the only difference in what I said and you said. It means the same thing. Okay, verse 1 through 16.
What about the attitudes to achieve it?
Kind of, sort of, but it's a little more involved in that.
Having unity in Christ.
Like unity. It's the necessary attitudes, the foundation for, the means of, and the goal of the walk that we're going to have. If we're going to have this walk, we have to have unity. And so we have to have there's necessary attitudes. We have to have the right foundation. We have the right means and the right goal. That's what I put. Anybody put anything different?
Attitudes to achieve unity.
Okay. Attitudes to achieve unity.
Diligence.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. If we're mature, we are going to have unity, aren't we? That's what it's all about. The more we mature and grow together, the more we're going to have the same attitudes and goals and means to obtain it. Okay, anybody else? Chapter 4, verse 17 through 30.
The bonding of us and spirit.
Mm-hmm. okay? I'd have to think about that.
Putting off the old self and putting on the new self.
Okay. Don't talk to the Gentiles, but put up a new life. I've watched and shown this in truth. Putting off the old, basically, and the walk in Christ. Okay. From the marking we did, if you went back and looked at your marking, it was putting off the old man, putting on the new. That's what we talked about earlier when we were going through our brief overview, was there are some things we have to put off. And do you find yourself, even after you're a Christian, that there's some of the old man creeps back? It's not... What we would like to think is, okay, I've put that off. I don't ever have to worry about that again. I don't know about y'all, but me, sometimes it's the same thing. You know, if I could learn to control my tongue, I think I'd be, you know, I thought after Lauren's class I had it wired, but it helped a lot, but it didn't fix everything. And there are other things that we do that it's not a one-time thing. You don't put off the old man and put on Christ and we've got it wired. And, you know, my ticket's punched and I'm on the way to heaven. We need to continue to read these and talk and learn the things. Remind ourselves of the things that we're to put off and the things that we're to put on, the attitudes that we have and the actions that grow out of those attitudes. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 31 through 5:2. That's the next thing, I think. Chapter 4, 31 through 5, 2.
Loving one another.
You could put it that way, Lisa. I see why you would put it that way. But I just simply entitled it Walk in Love. We had the love marking there, all through there. That's the Walk in Love. But if you're going to walk in love, you're going to walk in right relationships. I can see how you would label that.
32 says one another, and also says each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, I agree. That's perfectly fine. If that's what jogs in your mind, that's great. That's what this is for.
Gentleness, the kindness, or the four?
You could probably, let's see. I don't see gentleness and kindness specifically mentioned here, but what he's talking about is a walk. Remember, if you will remember to go back, and what this whole section is walk in a manner worthy. And as many of these as you can, put walk in there, because we marked the walk phrases and they're all throughout here. It really seems to, for me, it makes it easy, makes the outline easier if I do it that way. But whatever works for you is perfectly fine. 3 through 14, how did you label that?
Walk as children of light and do not be partakers
with the unfruitful things of darkness.
Okay.
Do not
participate in the doings of the world.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? I kind of have two ways. I put walk in morality because that's what he's dealing with, and then I also have walk as children of light, not and darkness. So, but the light and darkness here, if you read through here, what he's talking about is morality. It's the, verse 3 says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. And he goes on to talk about the filthy talking. And the majority, if not all of this section, deals, the darkness is the immorality that's going on in the world. So, whatever brings to your mind when you think of Ephesians and you're reading through here as to what the whole section is about. Okay, chapter. Anybody else have something they want to share on 3 through 14? Okay, chapter 5, verse 15 through 21.
Wise walk versus the foolish walk.
Okay.
Wisdom.
Okay. Anybody else? Lauren, what you're shaking your head back. That's what you're talking
about. I'm trying to figure out what I wrote.
I simply wrote, walk as children of walk as wise according to the will of God.
Okay. I put these children in spirit.
Okay.
And if you are filled with the Spirit, you're not going to walk in
wisdom. So if that's what jogs your mind for what's in there, that's great. That's what we're wanting to learn to do. Okay, chapter 5, verse 22 through 33.
The love needed for marriage.
Okay. That's a good way to put it.
What did you say?
The love needed for marriage. Anybody else?
And how we are to walk, how we are to act in our different relationships.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. Anybody else want to share?
Husband and wife's love,
compared
to how God loved us.
Okay. I simply put walk, and I put walk in quotation marks because the word walk does not appear in this, but it's what's gone through the whole context. I just put walk according to God's plan in the husband and wife relationship. Okay, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4.
Children is needed respect for their parents.
Okay. Ready to put it? Sure is quiet in here. I know y'all have things on that paper. Okay.
You know, it all goes back to what Lauren was saying there about being filled with Spirit. All these relationships and the commands, that's what the Spirit tells us, it goes back to if the Word, if we allow the Word to dwell in our hearts through faith, then these are the ways that we will act in our different relationships. Didn't write all that down, but I mean, you know, it's important to know that in this husband and wife thing, it's because the Word comes, you know, and this is what the Spirit says, you know, for us to do up there. It's above that, you know, be filled with the Spirit. And then it starts talking about all these different relationships.
And that's why I've used the word walk in all of mine, because it goes back to 4:1. Mm-hmm. This is the walk that we're to have if we're going to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, which is to walk by the Spirit. But that's, to me, that's why I tried to use walk in as many of them as we could, because that's the way Paul described it, as a walk. This is a manner of life, in other words, that we're to have. And so you could say manner of life according to God's plan of the husband-wife relationship. Or the proper, I put proper walk in the parent-child relationship, because that draws me back to the beginning of chapter 4, when Paul is encouraging them. In fact, he's more than encouraging. He said, I implore you to walk in a certain manner. And then he goes on to tell them all these different things in different areas of their walk. And the walk in love, walk as children of light, walk as wise, walk appears in every set of those verses. So it draws us back to, this is not just something we talk about, think about, yes, this is what the Spirit taught us, if we're led by the Spirit, we do this. This is more than knowing. This is a doing. This is walking. This is something I do every day. It's a manner of life that I must have if I'm going to live worthy, in a manner worthy. And I want to do that, so what do I have to do that? Well, then Paul went on to explain to them in the last four chapters. And that's why the marking, if you go through there and you read, it jumps out at you. This is a walk. This is a manner of life. This is something he talks about in 4:22 in your former manner of life, and you put that aside. And so that's why I used as much as I could the word walk, because it's the whole thread through the whole last three chapters. He begins with that, and it's a thread that he weaves throughout there And even in 5:15, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So it's a word that weaves through here, and if we look for these words, then these words are going to help us understand. It's not, these are words that Paul chose, and he chose the word walk to make them, to impress upon them that this is something they have to do, and this is something that, if they're going to be worthy, how they have to live. Okay, so we did 1 through 4. What's 5 through 9 of chapter 6?
Slaves and masters respect the need for each other.
Okay. Anybody else?
Honoring the servant-master relationship.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? Here again, I just put proper walk, and I put walk in parentheses for slaves and masters, because it's what's been woven through the whole thing. Okay, the last one ought to be easy, or the next two. 6, 10 through 20.
Take any part of battle or armor of God.
Okay, God.
Guarding yourself against evil and temptation.
Okay.
Put on the full armor.
That's exactly what I wrote. It's not, the full armor of God is there, but we've got to put it on. First of all, we've got to determine what it is, and we looked at that, the different parts of the armor, and then what we were to do with it.
That's what it says at the very beginning, on the first verse of the main attribution of the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God.
Right. And we talked about we had to put on the full armor. We couldn't just pick and choose. Okay, and then chapter 6, verse 21 through 24.
Closing remarks, personally.
Okay.
Our knowing of God depending on Paul.
Okay. I think closing and personal remarks is probably the best way to put this, because they're just kind of different things that he put there in. Okay, what was our verse? Where was it, and what does it say that we based our study on?
Ephesians 4:3-4.
And what does it say?
Which?
Okay, I'm sure everybody didn't hear you. But that's okay, he said it right. What we tried to do throughout this lesson, and this has been a struggle for me because I've never done this before and taught this way. It's been a different kind of study. I appreciate so very much those of you who have been so patient with me. And Deanna's not here to tell me how much she hated it, so I'll put that on there for the tape's sake that Deanna hated it. She hated the marking. And if you choose not to do marking, that's entirely up to you. But I do hope that you have seen the value of just simply reading a book. What we tried to do was take this book as a unit, because they did. That's all they had. When they got the Ephesian letter, they may have had other letters that had come through there or would come through there, but they received a personal letter from Paul. They couldn't go to Hebrews to determine what he meant here. They couldn't go back to Romans and determine what he meant here. They couldn't go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They did not have those. They had a personal letter from Paul. And this is what we need to do in any book we study, whether it be James or 1st or 2nd Peter or Timothy. We need to try to determine what is meant within the context of that book. Yes, we do need to harmonize with the rest of the scriptures. But we get ourselves in trouble, and it is so dangerous when we see something, a phrase, or a word in Ephesians, and then we go to Romans or Hebrews or another book, and we try to force it to make it mean the same thing, because that is not necessarily true. And so Paul says when you read, you can understand. And so I believe we can take a book, and I encourage you to pick a book, a short book. Philippians is a real good book because the words are easy to mark. 1 John is another book that had words that recur over and over again, and themes and thoughts. But for yourself, sometimes I don't believe that of the women in this class because I know y'all are Bible students. But a lot of times women believe what they believe because that's what their husbands believe. We're not going to stand in judgment based on what my husband believes. I can't say, well, he told me to do this or he taught me this and so that's what I practiced. We're going to stand in God, stand before God on our own. And you can read and understand. And so I hope you will do this, whether you mark or not, at least read over and over the same book and try. You will. I think if you do that, you will find yourself wanting to mark because it helps you understand. You go through and you say, that word's occurred several times. It makes you want to go back and look and see what the theme is, what the context is. Just like with the word walk. It helps us to understand better what he's talking about walk when we see that he applies this in every area of life. And that we, how we're to interact with each other, how we interact with family. And so I do encourage you to continue to read more than just, I've got to read my Bible 30 minutes before I go to bed, or I've got to read 15 minutes sometime through the day just so I can say I've read. It's good to read, but try to read for understanding and read for learning because it makes God's Word so much more rich and meaningful for us as individuals. I think I mentioned once before in this class that I've always hated the book of Leviticus. And so I forced myself to just do what I've done with Ephesians and sit down and just read and read and reread Leviticus. And when I got through, after I don't know how many times I read it and did some marking, I was amazed that I had a much better appreciation for the Levites and their work and some of the things that God was trying to teach them by these sacrifices and things. So it enriches your life. And so I encourage you to continue to do that. And I thank you for your attendance and I thank you for your patience. Anything else before we close? Toy.
I, for one, thank you for your patience with me, especially me.
Well,
I got behind in the very beginning because I was off of the COVID. I've been circled there and I got behind and seemed like I just never could catch up.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I feel like I'm behind. There was a time or two when I was sitting here on this stool and I felt like I'm swimming over my head. So it's. I appreciate y'all's patience with me, and I appreciate your coming. And especially you, Toy, because I know you don't always feel well. And it would be easy to say, well, I don't feel good this morning, so I'm just going to stay home. And you don't do that, and I really appreciate that.
This is one of those mornings.
Well, thank you for being here.
Okay. I want to say how much I appreciate the young mothers coming and bringing
yes.
the children.
I do, too.
And it has been such an encouragement to me, and we can encourage maybe the other young women.
That's very true. They don't realize how encouraging it is for those of us who've gone before because we know where they are. We know how easy it would be just to keep them at home and let them play and say, I'll just study my Bible for an hour by myself rather than come fight with them on the pew. But you're teaching them, and that's you never realize how much good they're doing. So thank you, Linda, for that comment. Anything else?